All right. Hello, everyone. My name is Josh Henry, and I'm a graduate student at North Carolina State University. My presentation today is going to be on the effects of phosphorus nutrition on the beta-cyanin concentration and foliar coloration of Alternanthera brasiliana. So some of the effects on coloration of phosphorus nutrition. Red leaf coloration is a desirable trait in a lot of ornamental species, whether it's variegated or anything like that. There's a number of different species available that have red leaf coloration. And we know that phosphorus deficiency increases red leaf pigmentation. And we know that for sure in anthocyanins, which are typically considered the most common red pigment in plants. But we don't really know for sure about beta-cyanins, which are another red pigment found in plants. Of course, anthocyanins are very common. They're found in very many species, such as zonal geraniums and coleus. And the relationship between anthocyanins and low phosphorus nutrition is well established. But beta-cyanins are less common, and they're found in amaranths, such as Alternanthera, and some other ornamental species like carnations. And their relationship with phosphorus nutrition has not been previously established. So our hypothesis was that beta-cyanins would react similarly to anthocyanins, and that with increasing phosphorus concentrations, you'd see a decrease in the beta-cyanin concentration, and thus more of a green coloration in the leaves. So for our first experiment, we grew Alternanthera purple prints with five different phosphorus rates of 0, 2.5, 5, 10, and 20 milligrams per liter phosphorus. The plants were grown in a glass greenhouse in the fall, and they were grown in a custom substrate of 80-20 peat and perlite, amended with lime and wetting agent to try and eliminate any kind of nutrient charge that would be in a commercial substrate. So we grew those plants with these initial rates for the first 4 weeks, and then we switched half of the plants from each non-zero concentration to 0 milligrams per liter phosphorus after 4 weeks. And then they were grown for an additional 4 weeks and destructively harvested after 8 weeks. And at the end, we measured growth and color parameters. For growth parameters, we measured the height and diameter. And for color, we measured the color with a colorimeter and used that to determine the hue and chroma. And just if you're unfamiliar with hue, hue is on a 360-degree circular model there. And so at 0 and 360 degrees, that is where red would be on the hue angle spectrum. And as you start moving toward 90 degrees, you get more towards green. And as you move from 360 down toward 270 degrees is where you start getting more toward violet or purple. And so we looked at those hue values. And then we also found the beta-cyanin concentrations using a spectrophotometer. And we analyzed all the data in SAS using PROC-GLIMIX, and then we regressed everything using PROC-REG and PROC-ENLIN. And so here you can see are the Purple Prince plants after 8 weeks of growth. The top row illustrates the plants that were grown with the same rate of phosphorus for the entire experiment, and the bottom row illustrates the plants that were switched halfway through the experiment to 0 milligrams per liter. And you can see there was a very obvious effect on size, where plants that were grown with higher phosphorus concentrations were larger than those grown with smaller or lower phosphorus concentrations. And also you can see that there was some effect on the purple coloration, where the plants that were grown with lower phosphorus concentrations were a darker purple color, and that the plants that were grown with higher phosphorus concentrations had a little bit more of that green coloration. So here you can see the hue angle. Again, just to reiterate, 0 is around pure red. And as you move toward 90 degrees, you're getting toward green. So you can see with the increasing phosphorus concentration that there was more of a tendency to go from red to green. So they were statistically greener. The top line representing plants that were grown with the continuous phosphorus and the bottom line representing plants that were grown with the restricted phosphorus. And you can see that they had pretty similar effects on the hue up until about 5 milligrams per liter phosphorus. And then the hue of the continuous phosphorus continued to increase with increasing phosphorus, but the restricted phosphorus plants kind of plateaued at a specific hue and stayed more toward that red coloration. And also you can see we have the beta cyanin concentrations here. There's a linear plateau model right there that illustrates the beta cyanin concentration in plants grown with continuous phosphorus. You can see it started off very high and then went down to almost zero in the plants that were grown with 10 and 20 milligrams per liter phosphorus. And we saw a really interesting cubic response in the plants that were grown with the restricted phosphorus concentration. And you can see where the biggest difference here is the plants that were grown with 10 milligrams per liter continuously had very low beta cyanin concentrations, and the plants that were grown with 10 milligrams per liter for the first half and then switched had very high beta cyanin concentrations that were almost as high as the plants that were grown completely without phosphorus. And, of course, we saw the growth response here for height and diameter for all of these treatments. They exhibited a quadratic plateau type of model. So here you can see the height plateaued with between 6 and 9 milligrams per liter phosphorus, and that's designated by that X0 value under the regression equation. And for diameter, the diameter maxed out between 8.5 and 16.8 milligrams per liter phosphorus. So based on the results of that experiment, we decided to conduct a slightly different experiment with a couple of different cultivars. We still grew the Alternanthera with 0 to 20 milligrams per liter phosphorus, but this time we switched a portion of the plants to 0 phosphorus after 4 weeks, and then also switched another portion of the plants to 2.5 milligrams per liter phosphorus after 4 weeks. The plants that were switched to 2.5, I will show you the pictures of them, but I'm not going to show you the regression equations for those because it made the graphs look a little messy. But we measured the growth and color parameters again, just like we did in the first experiment. And so here you can see with Brazilian red hots, the top row were plants that remained on their initial concentration. The middle row is plants that were switched to 2.5 milligrams per liter phosphorus, and the bottom row is plants that were switched to 0 milligrams per liter phosphorus. And going from that bottom left to the top right, you can see a general trend of dark but small to big and mainly green. So that's kind of the trend we saw. And the plants that we would be most interested in floriculturally were the plants that were grown with these rates right here. I think that was about the ideal combination of size and coloration. And just again, to illustrate from the most recently matured leaves, you can see those that were not switched, they had that nice line going from dark to more of a light green, but also you can see that there was some size differential there, and then a little bit darker on the plants that were switched to 0 parts per million. And so, again, the best rates that I could recommend here would be either a continuous rate of 5 milligrams per liter phosphorus or using 10 milligrams per liter phosphorus and then switching it to 0 halfway through production. And here we have the hue angle on the left graph here, and you can see, again, 0 and slash 360 degrees is right around red. So with the continuous phosphorus treatment, you can see that it goes away from purple and more toward green as the phosphorus rate increases. And it goes more from purple to pretty much exactly red with the restricted phosphorus treatment. So it did have a very significant effect on the hue and also on the chroma, which is like the saturation. And again, similar effects on the height and diameter with these quadratic plateau models. So the height for these was maxed out with about 3 to 4 milligrams per liter phosphorus, and the diameter reached its maximum with 4 to 9 milligrams per liter phosphorus. And here, pretty much the exact same setup as we had with Brazilian red hots with Little Ruby. And again, you can see that trend from dark and small to larger, but also much more green. And just like with Brazilian red hots, we saw that those rates we recommended were pretty much ideal for Little Ruby as well. And here you can see similar effects on the hue angle, as we saw with the Brazilian red hots, and also the lightness. One thing that I wanted to stress again with the hue angle is you can see the biggest difference between the two lines is at that 10 milligram per liter phosphorus mark. The plants that were grown with continuous phosphorus had a much higher hue angle, whereas the ones that were restricted were lower. And then when you look at those that were grown with 20 milligrams per liter continuously for the entire experiment or switched to zero, those values are pretty similar. And what I believe happened here is that the 20 milligrams per liter for 4 weeks and then cut to zero was enough for the plant to not exhibit any symptoms of phosphorus deficiency or that red coloration. But 10 milligrams per liter was not enough. So you were able to get the plant up to a sufficient size, but then the phosphorus started to run out toward the end of the experiment, and you saw that darker color come into play. And with a little ruby, interestingly, height was not affected by phosphorus rates, even with just 0 milligrams per liter phosphorus, but the diameter was very significantly affected, very similar trends to what we saw in the other Alternanthera. And so the beta-cyanin accumulation response is very similar to what you would expect for an anthocyanin accumulation response. Also, a good thing to mention is that anthocyanins and beta-cyanins are mutually exclusive, and they don't occur in the same species. So further understanding of beta-cyanin biosynthesis is required for us to understand how phosphorus nutrition affects the beta-cyanins. And for conclusions, the low phosphorus stress led to beta-cyanin concentrations up to 20 times greater than plants with sufficient phosphorus. 10 milligrams per liter switched to zero had beta-cyanin and hue values similar to the controls, and it also had very little impact on the size. But 20 milligrams to 0 milligrams provided sufficient phosphorus to prevent low phosphorus stress and symptoms for 4 weeks. And so the phosphorus concentrations less than 5 milligrams per liter negatively impacted growth, so those would not be ideal for production situations. And so conclusions for the industry is that growers can use 10 milligrams per liter phosphorus to size up their plants and then switch to a very low or no phosphorus to enhance the color. But unfortunately, there's very little margin for error here, so it may be difficult to implement in a commercial setting because there's a very fine line between a healthy, good-looking plant and then a plant that's on its way out. And so it requires very careful timing and nutrient management. And with that, thank you, and I'd like to thank my research supporters.